Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton, the official podcast of Cross Christian Fellowship, Route 66, in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Burton is the lead pastor. We're glad you're here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the sanctuary. It's great to have you with us, as always. So, as we get started here, I'm going to ask a few questions, and you know, you can either mentally write them down or physically write them down, but do something, because I want you to keep these in the back of your mind as we move forward today. All right. So let's start off with, why has God allowed you to fail at times? What did you learn from it? And how did you respond? What are the frustrations in your life right now? And how should you ask God to help with them? All right. Now, with those questions in mind, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 147. So Psalm 147, and we're just going to look at the first few verses here. So Psalm 147, verses 1 through 6. The word says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant. And praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground." So as we go into looking at this passage here, I'd like to tell you about someone. You may have heard of him. His name is Phil Vischer. Now, back in the early 90s, he founded a film company. By the mid 90s, around 1994, it had a revenue of about $44 million. All right, the company had become, you know, as a big name in the game. It built up its prominence from just an animated TV show. And in this TV show, he voiced several of the characters himself. So, and this show, you know, it became so big that his company had been contracted to make a full-blown movie. You know, and as it happened with many companies, though, as, you know, it does continuously, we've seen throughout the decades, the cost quickly got out of control. Revenue plummeted into the red. The company that had contracted them ended up taking them to court for breach of contract. And it was because he and his company couldn't deliver on time. They didn't have the goods. You know, a setback after setback after setback. Yet, you see, Phil was happy. He was one happy dude. You know, and it's that happiness that surpasses all understanding, because he had pushed himself to the limit, to his absolute limit, to achieve a dream. Now, you see, when he was a child, his father left the home. And his dream was to create a company that could deliver positive messages that would be able to strengthen families and bring hope to young kids. In doing so, well, he was stressed, and stressed does ugly things. Stress, in his case, it led to heart issues, and it led to other illnesses, strep throat, shingles. But those heart issues, I mean, you know, broken hearts, no bueno. That's a tough deal, right? And this is all before he even got to the point where he had to start laying off people that he loved dearly and considered family. Right? But he was still happy. He was happy. Why would he be happy? I mean, we're talking about a man in dire straits. We're looking at a horrible, horrible situation, right? You know, the downfall of a company. It doesn't make sense. How could he possibly be happy, right? But here he was, and he's happy. And it's because after this trial, he was listening to a preacher. And this preacher asked the question, What does it mean when God gives you a dream, that dream comes to life, and then the dream dies? And the answer is profound. You're going to love this. I love this. The answer is, God wants to see if you can live without the dream, depending only on Him for meaning. For Phil, this was a wake-up call from God. Ding, 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 ding. That alarm was going off. It was ringing loud. And his eyes were open because he realized along the way that he had stopped pursuing God. God was no longer at the forefront. Instead, he was looking at cultural relevance. He was looking at the world, what the world demanded, what the world expected. And when he realized this, the trajectory of his career and his life changed profoundly. It changed profoundly. Today, Phil still provides the voices for the same characters, but only for a small percentage of the royalties, which in turn has left him with the freedom to go after a number of other ventures in service to God. The company that we're talking about here, it exists only in name today. It's a subsidiary of another company. Big Idea. Big Idea is the name of the company. And the movie? Oh, you're going to love this, especially those of you who are probably my age, maybe a little bit younger even. Because the movie is called Jonah, a VeggieTales movie. That's right. Phil being the voice behind many of the main characters in that show. And right about here is where Paul Harvey would impart those awesome words of, and now you know the rest of the story. But for us, we're not done. We're just getting going. We're going right back into scripture here. Sometimes we feel frustrated in life, almost aimless, right? Sometimes we don't even understand ourselves or even what we should do about it. But our God is huge. He's so much bigger than all of that. He's bigger than a failed business venture. He's bigger than a failed relationship. He's bigger than that devastating loss that you've had in your life. And even bigger than that dream that either never came to fruition, or it actually started up, but then died. You know what I mean? I'm sure someone out there, you know, is anybody out there, you know, had that dream that came into fruition and then died? I know I have. Romans 11, verses 33 through 36, the word says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the Lord of the mind, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." You see, we need to remember that God has all understanding. He knows it all, right? I mean, he's the creator of all things. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. Right? So when we're feeling troubled, when we're feeling down, we need to find a way to pick ourselves up and take our mind off of ourselves. When I say pick ourselves up, I'm not saying, oh, just get up and get going. I'm talking about refocusing our mindset, getting out of that stinking thinking and getting refocused on God. God, who possesses absolute power and absolute wisdom. We need to remember when we go to him, that we are the ones who need the counseling. We are the ones who need the help. We're not in the position to be making demands or telling him what's best or how to do things. He already knows. He already knows it all. He's the source of all things, the living water from which everything gets life. Everything is to be his will and to bring him glory. If we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, I'll give you a second here. So 1 Corinthians 10, All right. So 1 Corinthians 10:13, the word says, "No temptation has overcome you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not only allow you, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but," this is the part that gets left out, "but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." See, far too many people hear the first part of this passage, right? But not the last part, which is truly the most important. You know, too many people, they start off well, they get this first part out, and then they forget and they drop off the last part. No. We need it. Because we need the context. We need to understand what's going on here. All right. It's not saying that you won't be tempted with more than you can handle. It's saying you'll be given a way to overcome that temptation. And the way that you overcome it is by leaning into Jesus Christ, by going to Jesus Christ, by praying to the Holy Spirit. The first part is saying that you will be tempted. You're going to be tempted. That is life. And just like everybody else in this world, because everybody is tempted. However, you have a choice to make. You have a very, very important choice to make. You can either choose to go it on your own and your own selfish desire. And I don't know about you, but I mess up every time I do it. I screw up royally. Or you can choose to go to Jesus and trust him to guide you through whatever it is that's in front of you. See, going back to Phil originally tried to do it on his own. Fortunately, he figured out where he went wrong and he went back to Jesus. And because of that, things have worked out really well for him. Unfortunately, most of us, well, we're more like David and Bathsheba. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verses 3 through 4, the word tells us. So David went and inquired about the woman, and someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. David, who wanted what he wanted, he put his own desires first, like so much of us. He put his own lust first. He did not put God first. He didn't go to God. Instead, he put himself there. He went to himself. He gave into his evil heart. He gave into his desires. And in his desire to name and claim what he wanted, he went astray. See, there's the problem with the name it and claim it. Prosperity gospel, right? You see, he went astray, and what happens? He committed adultery. And if that wasn't enough, he plotted to cover it up. And when that didn't work, he sent Uriah to his death. His death! He's guilty of murder! Adultery and murder! He's not loving. He's not loving God. He's not loving his neighbor. He's breaking the greatest of all commandments here. And ultimately, when he did this, it brought a whole lot of grief to his family. A whole lot of grief. And all of us, we all do this with far too many things. We don't look at the choices in front of us and ask if what we're doing is God's will, if what we want is in accordance with God's will. Instead, we become frustrated with things that arise in our lives. We become frustrated with what happens. We become frustrated with our perception of failure, those things that we perceive as a failure. We don't look to learn from it. We don't look for any blessings in it. We don't look for a way to reconnect with Jesus or grow in our relationship with him. We don't look to God for the right way to respond. And we don't ask him for help or intervention in our lives. We don't ask him for a direction. Remember the questions that we started with today. Why has God allowed you to fail at times? What did you learn from it, and how did you respond? What are the frustrations in your life right now? And how should you ask God to help with them? God is at work. He's watching you. He wants to help you. You just need to go to him and ask for that help. You need to stop talking when he's giving the answer and listen, especially when you think you don't like the answer at first. And finally, you need to remember that it's not about your will, but his will. And what he wills is so much greater than what we do. And what he wants for us is so much greater than what we want for ourselves. Remember this, and you will do well. Meditate on these questions and use it to guide your prayer the next time you sit down and you talk with the Lord. Remember, you are loved and you are blessed. Now go be the church.
Thank you for joining us at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. If this message spoke to you, or if you would like to help us reach more people, please like, review, and share our podcast. You can learn more about our ministry or how you can support us at www.thecross66.org. Until next time, take care and God bless.